like zombie.
So we hope you had a great day, Koji Yang Sing. Just how we wrap up the show tonight here on Sunday Edition with me, Komla Adoma. I appreciate your comments and contributions, and all of you who followed me on Facebook Live, I totally appreciate you. Let's do this again next week, shall we? Up next is Springboard with Albert Okran and the team. Please stay with us. And quick one on Beyond the Lockdown show at 7:30 p.m. on the Joy News channel. Mass exercise amidst a pandemic. MFAPA will be hosting Dr. Sribo Kwaku of the Electoral Commission, also Mike Buedu, Director of Training of the Electoral Commission, and Francis Pamdeti of the National Identification Authority. Please make a day.
Good evening and welcome to Joy 99.7 FM and to tonight's edition of Springboard, your virtual university. Thank you for joining us on your favorite personal development and leadership show, where your personal value is enriched on a weekly basis. As we matriculate tonight, the expectation is that something that you will hear will catapult your life to a whole new level. There will be nuggets for business, career, finance, talent, and leadership education for every single one of us tonight. Springboard is brought to you by Legacy and Legacy and your superstation Joy 99.7 FM, made possible by a team of brands working with us every single week to bring you value right there in the comfort of your home. A big thank you to MTN, MTN Pulse, Just Be, the Enterprise Group, Enterprise Your Advantage, UMB Bank, UMB Speed Up, Digi Bank, Let's Go, and the Access Pension Trust, your reliable partner in pensions. A good evening to our team at The Graphic Business for partnering with us on this great adventure. Well, you tuned in on Joy 99.7 FM, obviously, and you also are with us if you're watching on Facebook at Springboard, your virtual university. My name is Albert Okan, and I'm doing this with the support of the full Springboard team, Comfort Matthew, Priscilla Amos, David Emmanuel, and Jojo. We trust that something that we share tonight will be beneficial to you. Our big question for tonight: how long will the effects of COVID-19 last? How long will they last? And even more importantly, what can we do as we prepare for the future? We'll find out shortly from our guest, Dr. George Ajekum Donko, who's the president of the ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development. We'll also be joined along the line by Judith Zomelo-Korte, a banker and financial analyst based in London, who'll be sharing some interesting predictions about when she thinks this whole thing will come to a close or wear off, and what we must do in preparing for the future. Before we settle down to our discussion, one quick one for you. This Thursday, we are having a very exciting discussion on the webinar, and we are talking about the new normal. Everything that has become possible as a result of the disruption and displacement that COVID-19 has brought upon us, in the face of what we call uncertainty, some new ways of doing business have emerged that were hitherto not even considered an option before COVID-19. We'll be finding out from different practitioners who are doing things that they typically would never have done, and how some are riding on the wings of COVID-19 to do business in the new way. The topic is the new normal, and just write down the Zoom ID 861-3545-3201. 861-3545-3201. Let's converge and let's share ideas about how to optimize life in this pandemic and make things happen for our businesses. Quick tip on COVID-19 awareness from MTN: avoid congested areas. This one exams simple. Three words: avoid congested areas. Tonight, we want to give out a coaching package to someone as part of our wow moment. And so if you believe with all your heart that you deserve to be coached to fully optimize your talent and develop and deploy it to great advantage, when we open the phone lines, call and make a compelling case. And when you do, Comfort will give you a pack of books in addition to the coaching program. And you also will win a subscription of the Graphic News Plus for 1 year. And that means you get to get Daily Graphic, The Mirror, Graphic Business, Graphic Sports, and the Junior Graphic on your phone for a whole year for free. Why don't you call in when we open the phone lines and benefit from this great opportunity? What do you have to do? Just answer three simple questions based on the submissions that Dr. Donko will be making, as well as those that Judith will be making all the way from London. Once you get those three correct, you are on your way to a whole new adventure. So let's get Dr. George Ajekum Donko on the line and find out what we should be looking at. But first of all, what does it take to become president of the ECOWAS Bank? Hello, Dr. Donko. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. How are you?
Very well, by His grace. Thanks for making time for this interaction tonight. So tell me, how is Lomé compared to Ghana? You're based in Lomé. Tell me how things are there compared to Ghana.
Well, Lomé and Ghana, Togo and Ghana are the same. We are all, contending with the COVID-19 issue. There hasn't been a lockdown in Lomé. What actually happens is that the government imposed curfew. We started from 8 p.m. to about 6 a.m. the following day. But Ghana and Togo are almost the same. All the experience that we are going through here, we are also going through in Lomé.
Let's start with a bit of background. I mean, when you see somebody's the president of the ECOWAS Bank, everybody starts thinking, what does it take to become president of the ECOWAS Bank? So give us a bit of your journey as a lawyer, a banker, and a marketing consultant. A brief overview, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, the ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development, EBID, as you may be aware, is the financial arm of the Economic Community of West Africa, that's ECOWAS. The bank was established at the same time when the ECOWAS Commission was established in 1975. The bank became operational in 1979, and it started as a fund, that is ECOWAS Fund for Compensation, Cooperation and Development, popularly known as ECOWAS Fund. It operated as a fund from 1979 until 1999, when the authority of heads of state and government formally converted the fund into a bank. So it actually became a bank in 1999. And since then, it has operated as a bank. Initially, we had two subsidiaries, the ECOWAS Regional Investment Bank, that was purposely for private sector projects. And then we have the ECOWAS Regional Development Fund, which was also for public sector projects. But as we speak now, the subsidiaries have been merged into one group, that is the ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development. That is the group. And we, as you may be aware, the bank is just committed to financing development projects and programs in the ECOWAS member countries. You may ask, how did it take to become a president? Well, I have been with the bank for 12 years now. I joined the bank in 2008 as head of legal and compliance. And then after 4 years, the board of directors appointed me the vice president in charge of finance and corporate services. In fact, the vice president is the same as the deputy CEO. And I held that position for 7 years. And just this year, I was appointed the president of the bank after the tenure of the incumbent, who was a Nigerian. So, in actual fact, since the fund became operational as a bank, I'm the second Ghanaian who has occupied that position.
I see. Who was the first Ghanaian to occupy the position?
Please, come again.
Who was the first Ghanaian to take that position?
The first Ghanaian to occupy the position of the president was Dr. George Sepanyanki. He held the position for only 4 months, and then he was recalled.
Right. So, just give us, Dr. Donko, the biggest lessons you've learned from 25 years in senior management.
Yeah, thank you very much. The biggest lesson I've learned for the past 25 years in senior management position is the fact that the people that you work with, those at the at the lowest of the ladder, those at the upper, they are the people that you need to go, or to get to to the top. In other words, if you are working at a senior management position, the secretaries and the drivers and the people that you consider support, serve, or those considered at the lowest level, they are the people that you need. So it is important that you must establish very, very close relationship with all these people. Number two, what you need to avoid, what I've also learned, that you need to avoid, it's sycophancy. In management, you will see a number of employees coming to tell you so many things. As a leader, I think that you need to listen and listen very well and then take a decision based on what you hear. So what I've learned that I want to share this evening is the fact that you need the people at the lowest level to get to the top. So you don't take anybody for granted. Number two, you must avoid sycophancy. In fact, the people who tell you the truth, they are the people that you must actually pay attention to. But the people who come and say, yes, sir, I want to just, please you, they are the people that you should be very, very careful with. So these are the things I've learned over the past 25 years in senior management positions.
Dr. Donko, you talk about the second one with a lot of passion. It's almost like you've had some very serious experiences.
the issue regarding...
sycophancy, you talk about it with such passion, as like something that you've had experience with.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes leaders tend to, develop hatred for employees and workers who tell them, the truth. But they rather prefer those who are Tiko fans. They will come and tell them stories. And they will come and also tell them stories about other people. They will tell, you know, leaders what people are saying about them. These are the people that leaders tend to. But eventually, these are the people who will destroy you. So it is important, rather, to listen to those who are very honest. They will tell you the way it is. And I believe that if you're a leader and you pay attention to that, you will never have any problem.
18 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. If you just joined us, this is Springboard, your virtual university. You're talking about preparing for the future post-COVID. And my guest for tonight is Dr. George Ajekum Donkor, the president of the ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development. He has been telling us about his career so far. I want to switch to the idea of the issue of COVID-19 and find out the level of disruption is caused and how to position ourselves for the future. Along the line, we'll be joined also by Judith Zomelo-Corti from London with some perspectives on the subject. But very importantly, everything that you hear tonight, possibly could be a quiz question that you'll be asked to answer, and that could give you that big prize that we are giving out tonight in our wow moment. But Dr. Donko, let's go to COVID-19 and the impact of the unexpected development. You signed up as CEO in January with great plans, but I'm sure that when COVID-19 came, we just disrupted so many things. Let's talk about the impact of COVID-19 on carefully laid out plans of organizations.
Thank you very much. Let me just, in a nutshell, just give a short background. I think we are aware of the COVID-19, which has led to widespread lockdowns and border closures in a manner that has never been seen before in recent history. This has, disrupted livelihoods and indirectly, redefined even the way businesses should be conducted, with the attendant ramification on the quality of life. Countries have had to revise their GDP growth projections downwards, just like businesses. Like many other countries in the world, as you may be aware, African countries will be affected heavily by this pandemic, due to what we call the contraction in the manufacturing activities and weak demand for goods and services. The COVID-19, as we are talking about, has economic and financial impact, and I would like to mention some of these things. The first issue is international trade. As you may be aware, international trade will be highly affected because there will be low exports due to low import capacity by the importing countries. Tourism sector will also be affected because border closures and tourist apprehension will lead to losses for the transport and hospitality. Again, government revenue mobilization will be affected because there will be low tax inflows due to low economic activities. Government expenditure will also be affected because of increased medical and social intervention expenditure. Again, let's look at remittances. Remittances will also be affected. That is, there will be low remittances from abroad, person to person, and government to government. This will experience, in 2020, due to the loss of jobs and the rising costs. So, in the nutshell, the COVID-19 will have adverse impact on all the issues I've mentioned, international trade, tourism, government revenue mobilization, and the government expenditure, as well as remittances. Thank you very much.
Dr. Donko, the picture you describe is a very, very difficult picture to contend with, especially if I look at remittances, for instance. How big a contribution is made to the economy in the recent past? The reality of the fact that remittances will drop significantly is something that could have a significant impact on our economy. And the linkages you build to issues like taxation resulting from income drops, and then the effect of border closures on tourism and transport are so real. Some have described this whole COVID-19 as a reset button for the global economy. What is your prediction of what things will look like after this pandemic?
Well, you may be aware, COVID-19 threatens to back years of marked economic progress by many African countries, and plunge many more people into poverty. Many more countries stand the risk of experiencing debt overhangs due to declining revenues and increasing intervention measures to mitigate the adverse impact of the pandemic on the poor. the IMF project, the IMF project that global economic growth will contract by negative 3%, down from an original positive growth of 3.4% this year. This is worse than the decline recorded during the global financial crisis of 2007 and 2008. Again, let us bear in mind that US and UK economies are projected to grow by negative 5.9 and negative 6.5 respectively. This is down from the pre-COVID-19 growth projections of 2.1% and 1.4% for the US and UK respectively. Now, the Chinese economy is projected to grow by 1.2% compared to 6.1% growth recorded in 2019. The UK economy is reported to have shrunk by 20.4% in April 2020. That is the highest monthly contraction which has been recorded in history. The US economy is widely projected to slump into recession, with unemployment numbers in the first 5 months of the year topping 3 million. In the sub-Saharan Africa, it is projected to record a GDP growth of negative 1.3%, down from a pre-COVID-19 projection of 3.6%. GDP growth in West Africa sub-region is projected to reduce by at least 50% from original growth forecast. The Ghanaian economy is projected to grow at about 1.5%, down from a pre-COVID-19 projection of 6.8%. So you see that definitely the COVID-19 is going to have a very, very adverse effect on the global economy, for which Ghana is no exception. Now, with regard to the new normal life that we expect, we all agree that ICT is going to play a very central role in the way businesses are conducted. Virtual rather than physical meetings will become widespread as people try to avoid contracting the virus. We are likely to see more virtual board meetings, for example, than even in our lifetime. This could adversely affect the hospitality industry, for example, because people are not traveling to attend board meetings, the hotels will be very empty. On the other hand, ICT-based firms will see an increased turnover. In time, businesses will realize that they do not need all the office space. Other businesses will begin to think that they may not need all staff currently on go after having worked with the clean staff, with the lead staff during the lockdown period. Thank you very much.
Dr. Duncan, you can't describe a situation where staff, the demand for staff or the need for the number of staff will go down, and then the need for office space will go down, and say thank you very much. But Dr. Duncan, I'm just summarizing your projections. And first, you talk about a significant reduction in growth projections for many countries that you looked at. They originally were going to look at a positive growth situation. Now you're looking at a negative for the US and then the UK. For sub-Saharan Africa, again, you are looking at a negative instead of the original positive projection. Ghana, you're looking at about less than 25% of the original growth projections. All these are very dire figures that look at a case of significant reduction in growth projections. You also talk about the fact that ICT is going to be center place, with virtual replacing physical as the means for engagement, for meetings, for activities. To a large extent. The third one you're looking at is the impact on hospitality of the fact that people don't meet physically and meet virtually. You're saying that there will be a drop in demand for hospitality services and a growth in demand for technology services. But the fourth one is where it gets very interesting. You're saying that after operating in lockdown off location for a while and being successful at it, companies will ask themselves if they need that much of its office space and therefore cut back on space usage, and also by extension cut back on staff usage. These are very, very bold predictions, but they are issues we can relate to on a daily basis because we are seeing them happening all around us. How long, Dr. Duncan, will this situation that you are describing, how long will it last?
Thank you very much. The economic impact of COVID-19 in terms of the length of time, as you agree with me, it's dependent on how long it takes for us to find a vaccine or eradicate the pandemic completely. This is because for as long as things remain the same, life will never return to normal. Key industries will continue to suffer because of social distancing. Business costs will continue to rise because of the need to protect. And unfortunately, a lot more people will lose their jobs because of low demand for goods and services. So let me say that it will be very difficult for us to predict at the length of time for which this COVID-19 will stay with us. I think that we continue to live with this as a normal life now.
Dr. Duncan, let's look at the response of companies. You've described a certain situation that you say is unfolding, and the prognosis is very clear. What are some of the typical responses of companies trying to navigate their way through this pandemic? And I would like you to focus especially on commonly made mistakes. What do you think are the common mistakes that companies are making that you would like them to pay attention to, say?
Right, thank you very much. As you agree with me, COVID-19 is real, and therefore, pragmatic actions should be should be put in place to contain it. Protecting your workers is tantamount to protecting your customers, because they are on that interface with the customers. If a customer gets a sense that your environment is not safe, they will not do business with you. So the focus on short-term survival is very, very key. So the companies should not think about long-term survival of their entities. They should rather focus on the short-term survival. Because sometimes the typical response is to inject more capital into businesses. Now the question is, how will the new investment help the business to survive? Okay. If the business fails in the short term, there's no long term. So it is important that businesses, decision makers, business leaders should focus more on the short-term survival of their companies. Yet again, it is also important that companies should not hurriedly get rid of some staff, because COVID-19 has shown that you can work with fewer numbers. The point I'm trying to raise is that isn't because COVID-19 has shown that you can work with fewer numbers, companies should get rid of some of their staff. Because you have to remember that other businesses were down when they come up. So you may need them in the future. Assuming the COVID-19 is updated within the shortest possible time, you will need to bring these staff members on board again. So what should you do? Now get rid of them. So it is important that businesses should be very careful not to suddenly get rid of staff members by virtue of the use of technology and by virtue of the fact that they need fewer members to work with. So that is the response I can provide. A lot of businesses make mistakes. Some are now laying off a lot of workers. I think that we need to be very patient, take time, analyze the situation before we take any safe decision. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. So your three recommendations: protect your staff and by extension protect your clients. Number two, focus on the short-term survival. And then number three, don't hurriedly lay off your staff. The final question I'd like to ask you, Dr. Donko, is about individuals. I mean, what you describe, the people at the strongest end of the stick will be individuals. And many individuals will be concerned about uncertainty, job losses, economic disruptions that you describe, and the threat of your livelihood being taken away. What ideas do you have for individuals who are listening to us tonight?
Thank you very much, my brother. I think that this is a very, very unfortunate event in the life of humankind. Many people will emerge from COVID-19 feeling battered and depressed. Loss of loved ones, social relationships and jobs. However, it is important that we all reorient ourselves to the new reality and move on. One professor is called Marilyn Dusabar. She made a statement. I want to quote it. He said, being defeated is always a temporary condition, but giving up is what makes it permanent. I don't know whether I can repeat.
Give it to us again.
Being defeated is always a temporary condition, but giving up is what makes it permanent. The point is that we don't have to give up. We need to reorient ourselves to the new reality. My advice is that people with limited resources should look to investing more into liquid assets now. And when I talk about liquid assets, I need assets that you can fall on when the need arises. You don't have to go and then now invest in cars and then other, assets which are not basic, resources in the event that you need them. This is not the time to, this is the time to really invest in liquid assets, not illiquid assets, like cars, real estate, and others, which will be difficult to turn around in the event that you need it. However, those with excess cash to spare, this could be a good time for them to get real estate deals as demand, plummets, and always try to get some good cash. For now, if you want to deal in real estate, of course, you get cheaper, deals or transactions. But those with limited, cash, it is important that you don't invest in liquid assets. And again, I also want to advise that ICT will define the new age of business. So those that are not, those that are out of job should exploit the ICT learning platforms and bring themselves up to speed with new trends. The addition of new skills will be a plus for them when job opportunities arise. So these are a few advice, a few piece of advice that I can offer individuals who are listening to us tonight.
Dr. George Ajikumlena Donko is the president of the ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development. His advice for individuals: reorient yourselves to the new reality and move on. He quotes, being defeated is always a temporary condition. Giving up is what makes it permanent. And he says, as a person, if you have excess resources, invest them more in liquid assets. However, if you have a lot, then go for real estate deals, because at this time demand will be low, and as demand plummets, you could get some really good deals. His fourth admonition, especially to those who have lost their jobs, is that ICT will define the new age in business. And so bring yourself up to speed and get some new skills, and you definitely will be in a better position to add value to yourself. Dr. Donko, thank you so much for joining us tonight and for sharing these perspectives with us. God bless you, sir.
Thank you very much. And thank you to our...
All right. And a big thank you to... A big thank you to the ECOWAS Bank for the support that you give us for the Springboard Roadshow, investing in the young people of this country, sir.
Thank you very much also. We have a very strong partnership, and we hope to strengthen this partnership to be able to achieve a very good objective for the benefit of our people in the region.
Thank you very much, and may your tenure lead to many young people in the ECOWAS region reaching out and living out their dreams big time. All right, so those are the thoughts of Dr. George Ajikumlena Donko. He has left us with so much to chew on. I'm telling you, we're going to break it down step by step, and this is the more reason why on Thursday, after all this discussion tonight, Thursday, join us for this hangout where we just talk about the new normal. And he talks about some very, very interesting points under the new normal. He says it will never be the same again, on the issue of how long this disruption will last. He says, as long as it takes to find a vaccine or to defeat this virus, this issue will persist, because if people are social distancing, it will have a disrupting effect on the economy. We'll be joined very shortly by Judith Zomelo-Korte, who'll be sharing her thoughts on these subjects as well. But Dr. Donko describes widespread lockdowns and border closures having an effect on tourism. He talks about a redefined business environment, and he talks significantly about significant drops in GDP projections across the world. Let's find out from Judith Zomelo-Korte, who's a banker and financial analyst based in London, what it looks like in London and what we must expect, especially with regards to how long it will take to turn things around with COVID-19. Judith, good evening.
Good evening, Albert. How are you?
Very well here, and it's very interesting listening to Dr. Donko trying to give us a perspective. How is London, and how is the economic situation in London in the light of COVID-19 lockdowns and all?
London is okay. We are just coming out of lockdown. Only last week we were allowed to now be able to go out and meet another family. So from being completely indoors, now we can go out a little bit and we can go out to the parks. And those who cannot go out to, cannot work from home, are allowed to go out to their workplaces. So someone like my son have started going to work on a daily basis. Others are still encouraged to work from home where possible.
Judy, let's dig into the point about the reset button. I mean, some have described COVID as a reset button for the global economy. What's your prediction about what the new normal would look like post-COVID-19 in the light of all that is happening?
In terms of what will happen going forward, I, just as Dr. Donko said, things will never be the same again, or things will not go back to normal as quickly as we were all thinking. I remember when the first pictures started coming out of Wuhan with people falling down in the streets, we all thought it was a prank. So none of us took it really seriously. We thought it was just maybe one of those fake news videos, right? So it took us all completely by surprise. And when something takes you by surprise, it takes you a while to accept it and then put in place actions which are able to counteract the effects of this event which has occurred. So it took the world, including Britain, a long time before we accepted that we had a real problem and put in place measures to start to work through it, especially we went into lockdown, which then had a ricocheting effect on how long it took before we got things a little bit under control. So going forward, again, what I see is that a lot of people in a lot of countries, a lot of companies, individuals think it's going to be a month, 2 months, and we'll be back to normal. But now here we are, it's nearly 4 to 5 months, and we still are not in yet to the end of this pandemic, which means then that I know what Dr. Donko said about us taking little steps and making little changes, which is true. But we probably now also have to cast our eyes a bit further down the road and see what it is that we are going to be doing to get back to not normal, but the new normal. So in terms of businesses, a lot of us and a lot of businesses hurriedly put together working from home practices for their workers. And so you were given a laptop and told to work from home. But that cannot be a long-term solution. Even if it was for 2 or 3 months, it is not a good solution. We have to make sure that our workers, our employees, are properly housed, even if they are working from home. So we have to look at the health and safety implications of working from home, make sure that, you know, they tend to take regular breaks away from the computer. Someone checks on them to make sure that their mental health is healthy, and all the soft things which go into making an employee feel appreciated are needed at this point in time.
Let me come to the critical point about how long the economic effects of the pandemic will last. Earlier on, when we posted this program online, somebody said, please, can somebody give me a specific time? Somebody wants very specific answers about how long this pandemic will last, because he says he's listened to different conversations and nobody seems to be able to take the bull by the horn. Judy, would you attempt to take a bold prediction about how long this would last based on modeling or predictions that you are familiar with?
I wouldn't dare. That is, look, even Dr. Donko was not able to predict the end of it. That's because none of us can see where this will end. First of all, the pandemic is still going on. No one has come up with a vaccine. Sometimes countries who seem to be out of the woods go back into the woods. Nobody knows. So really and truly, if anyone thinks that they can predict the end of it, they are either a magician or maybe they heard from God. I don't think that anyone has any idea when it will end. But what I would suggest is that instead of looking for the end of it, we find ways of managing the situation at the moment. For example, we talked about the tourism industry going down and not getting up anytime soon. have a friend here who is the head of a travel agency or travel company. And we had a conversation the other day, and he said to me, it's going to be very different with holidays now. Where in the past you would take a bus load of old people to maybe a holiday resort and they would have fun, now it's no longer going to be the same. It could be that you would find holidays for families. So a family either home and rent maybe a cottage somewhere, and it's just them. So they know that they are safe from the from any effects of the COVID, and they will have a good relax and come back home. Going to restaurant, sorry?
Right. So your final, your final point is that the way service is rendered must be redefined, correct?
Definitely. We all have to find ways of giving good service, but differently, so that the customer at the end of the receiving end is safe, feels safe, and also has an enjoyable time and knows that they have had value for money.
Right. That's all time will permit us. A big thank you to you, Judith Zomelokoti, banker and financial analyst, joining us from London with the thoughts. And she's saying that beyond putting laptops in people's hands, let's also pay attention to their mental health and even how they work from home. It's that soft side that we often tend to overlook in our quest to get the results. So it's a balanced combination of thoughts from Dr. Ajekum Donko and also Judith, bringing some perspectives to the discussion. What do you think out there at home? How do we navigate our way forward in the light of this very interesting situation that we all find ourselves in? Let the conversation continue. Post your thoughts on the Facebook stream. Let's have this conversation. And on Thursday, let's look at the new normal and how life has suddenly become so different as a result of this pandemic. All right, we'll be having the Game Changer very shortly, but let me remind you that Springboard is brought to you by our team of sponsors: MTN, MTN Pulse, Just Be, UMB Bank, UMB Speed Up, Digibank, Let's Go, the Access Pension, Trust Your Reliable Partner in Pensions, the Enterprise Group, Enterprise Your Advantage. Let's go for a brief commercial break. When we come back, the number to call if you want to enjoy the wow moment is very simple. That number to call is 030-221-6541. There's so much to give away tonight. Just call into the show and answer very simple questions. There's so much that Dr. Donko shared. There's so much that Judith Zomelokoti has shared. If you can just answer a couple of very, very simple questions. I mean, I can close my eye and just tell you what he said. If you can answer a couple of questions, Comfort will be very happy to give you a wonderful package that should put your a smile on your face in the midst of this pandemic. Please don't go away.
How do you intend to sustain yourself when you retire?
My children will take care of me when I'm retired.
I am a professional. I can work till 80.
Some people leave their retirement to chance. How are you planning yours? Your attitude today can help you avoid struggling to survive when you retire. With 50 Ghana Cedis monthly investment in the Access Pension Plan, you can accumulate 700,000 Ghana Cedis in 30 years. This investment will guarantee you retirement income that far exceeds your current income. Visit www.accesspension.com to sign up or call 0302-543-287 or 0544-321-966 for details. Access Pension Trust, your reliable partner in pensions.
UMB was established in 1972 as the premier bank for the corporate and private sector in Ghana. From our very beginning, as the only Ghanaian bank serving all categories of businesses, we set a standard for excellence and innovation over the past 45 years. We've built a financially healthy and strong bank, demonstrated our commitment to our customers and to growing businesses, and exhibited originality and innovation at every turn. At UMB, our focus is built around people, service, products, and technology. These are the key to our present success and our future triumphs. At UMB, we are poised to make a difference not only with our customers, but also in the banking industry. We invite you to share in our future. Our future starts now with you.
Says I'm a Kosia filler, but it's not like I'm nosy. I'll go out to find out the latest filler. It's just that I get 50 megabytes of data free after paying for only the first minute of every call. And so I just keep discovering stuff minute after minute. That's how come I was minding my business, scrolling through my timeline, and I found out Coco has a new baby. Oh, and lastly, I learned Ken won the lottery. You see, Ken is my brother's friend. So hello! Look who's about to roll with the rich and famous.
Enjoy even more value with MTN Free After One. You only pay for the first minute of your call on MTN Free After One, and the rest is free. Plus, you enjoy free 50 megabytes worth of data to browse your favorite sites. Compare where? Compare then. So dial *315# to sign up. Be day for you everywhere you go. Terms and conditions apply.
12 minutes to the hour of 8 o'clock. This is Springboard, your virtual university. And tonight, we are looking at beyond, I almost said beyond the lockdown. Wow. Life post, preparing for the future post-COVID-19. Next week, on Father's Day, we'll be having a discussion about how to reposition your products and service. Noel Kujiganson of MTN will join us to talk about what you are doing, how, and Judith began to explore the subject a bit. Comfort. Judith began to explore the fact that tourist packages must change.
Yeah.
I thought you were trained to virtual tours and so on, something you're very passionate about, Comfort. But obviously, when we bring on Noel next, you'll be looking at how do you use technology to redesign your products and services to make them relevant to the public. All right, so that's for next week. But today, we'll be shortly opening the phone lines for you to call. But let's take the game changer segment about connection. Jojo, what do you have for today?
So on April 2nd, Rob Kenny launched a YouTube channel called Dad, How Do I? His first video answered a timeless question for many young men and women around the world. Just how do I actually knot a tie? And the rest of his content is very similar. It teaches young people how to do essential things like shaving or changing a tire. So by the beginning of May, Kenny's channel had 3,000 subscribers. But less than 2 weeks later, it had over 2 million. So what caused the exponential increase in Kenny's viewership? This week, our game changer is connection. A cursory search on YouTube for how to tie a tie yields tens of thousands of results. So why did Kenny's videos resonate so strongly? I mean, clearly, Kenny's growth is not just about content. The real secret was in his story. Kenny's father had abandoned the family when he was just 7 years old. In response, he created the channel to teach life lessons he never learned from his own father. People really identified with that background, and the story quickly went viral on social media. Some described his channel as the purest thing ever, and others even called him the father of the internet. And millions flocked to the channel, and the number of subscribers actually even outpaced the number of views on his videos at one point. And the rest, as they say, is history. So how do we replicate that kind of connection to our customers in our own marketing? Step one, be useful. Your content should help people solve their problems. Step two, have values. What you stand for should be front and center. And step three, tell a story. Stories create trust, and trust opens wallets. This week, author Jerry Bruckner has some homework for us. We have to go beyond merely communicating to connecting with people. This has been The Game Changer with Jojo Okran. Have a phenomenal week.
That's definitely brought tears to my eyes. But you know, the part I like, tell us the part about stories and wallets again. I had wallets.
You know, you want to tell a story because stories create trust and trust opens wallets.
Charlie, I'm going to write on my YouTube, my Facebook page, stories create trust and trust opens wallets. Talking about opening, the phone lines are open. 0302216541 and 0244340437. Somebody has opened and called the line already, ready to answer our questions. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Your name, where are you calling from, please?
Please, my name is Wisdom Yevu. I'm calling from Big Farm.
Wisdom, Comfort wants to give you so many goodies. A training package, she wants to give you books, and she wants to give you a free subscription on the Graphic News Plus. So just make sure you get the answers to the questions correct, okay? Are you ready?
Okay.
All right, she wants to give you just two questions, and if you get them right, you are on your way to the bank.
Okay.
Wisdom, great to have you tune in today. The first question starts from the very beginning of our conversation with George. Dr. George, and he said that what year did the bank become, was it considered as a bank? What year was that?
It was 1999. That was when it was officially, it started officially operating as a bank.
1999 it is.
Yes.
He mentioned many things that have gone on, but one thing that had to do on the economic front, he said, is the global picture looking upward or looking downward? And just mention one statistic for a particular country, just one country, any country, and what their growth rate is supposed projected to be.
Okay. He did mention of China, and mentioned that their growth rate is projected to increase.
No, Wisdom Yehu, you were that close. I could sense that you're going to get it. You got the country. Priscilla, can you get Wisdom back on the line? I think Wisdom should be given the chance because he was just on the roll. Hello. All right, so while we get Wisdom on the line, just to remind you of a couple of things that were shared on the program tonight. Let me not give Wisdom's answer so that you don't. But just to remind you, next week we'll be talking about how to position your goods and services post-COVID or in this era to ensure that your technology can enable you to do great things. And we'll be joined by Noel Kojiganson of MTN. He is the what do they call the marketing director in MTN? Do you have a name for it? Yes. Noel is head of marketing at MTN. He'll be joining us for that big discussion. It's going to be our Father's Day promo as well. So two men next week will get to win brand new smartphones and airtime. Please, the men. Last month when the women won, you were eyeing them. Next week is for men only. All right. Do we have Wisdom back on the line? Hello, Wisdom.
Hello.
Charlie, we held the line and waited for you. Can you imagine? All right, so over to you, Comfort. You were answering the question about, yes, the question about growth projection.
Projected growth rates for any country. Just mention one country and the projected growth rate.
Okay. It was estimated that China growth rate will increase by 1.2%.
What was pre-COVID? Do you remember the COVID pre-COVID numbers?
No, please.
Okay.
No, please.
Okay. Now, what is one thing that individuals can do to improve themselves in this era? Just one thing for individuals. Just one idea.
Okay. As an individual, we are to limit our resources and invest in more liquid assets.
You are the man. You have won yourself the training package, the set of books, as well as 1,000 CDs.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The 1,000 CDs is from EBID, Ecobank Bank for International Development. That is yours, from Ecobank Bank. So when you get your prizes, remember to take the picture and send it to us so that we can send it on to them to say thank you so much for being with
okay.
us.
Sure. Thank
All right.
You.
So
I will do that.
So Wisdom, you get to win not just the coaching package and the new Graphic News Plus subscription, as well as the books from Comfort. And now Comfort is adding a bonus of 1,000 Ghana cedis from the ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development. That's your full package for you. Wisdom, the whole of Pig Farm is backing you by now.
Oh, sure. Honestly. And I can't count the number of times I tried calling the line all this while, and this is my moment. I really prayed and looked forward to this moment. And I'm so excited. I can't even express my joy. I'm here right now. But I say thanks to Springboard Venture University and all their sponsors. And also, I give thanks to the Most High God.
You're giving like some acceptance speech, but it's not easy. All right. Thank you very much, Wisdom, for joining us. And Comfort, it's been a wonderful show learning from
George
Donko and Judith Courty. What to look at. I'm looking at a prediction that our head of our research, head of research here on the virtual university has sent. Amos says that about 54% of Fortune 500 CEOs were polled in a survey, and they think economic activities will start picking up from the first quarter of the year 2022. Now, that is about 2 years from now. We are in for the long haul. Your closing thoughts, Comfort.
The more I hear the predictions from various sectors based on the influence of experts, the more I believe that gathering yourself for the long haul is really important. If you think that this is just a short-term blip, you may be in for a serious wake-up call. So I would encourage all our listeners, see that this is almost like life. The blip may be slightly longer than you predict, but if you gather yourself, as George said, if you ensure that you put in some IT skills during this period, when we come out of the curve, you definitely will be in a better place. But if you say that, if you put your head in the sand and say, it's not happening like an ostrich, you'll be overtaken by events and you will not be in any good place there.
It is a book I recommend to you. Get Who Moved My Cheese.
I recommend both books.
And then our iceberg is melting. Those two books, they talk about change management. They talk about change that comes gradually, and you think, oh, it will pass, and how your whole life will get eroded if you don't respond appropriately and quickly. So two books I want to recommend to you. One, Who Moved My Cheese? And two, Our Iceberg is Melting. Google them right now and find them and buy them and read them, and they will add so much value to your life. We're expecting the address of the president very shortly, but I want to say a big thank you to all of you for joining us on this broadcast. Thank you to our sponsors for making this possible, and thank you to Team Springboard. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. Good night.
When you don't have the Enterprise Advantage app, you're not in control.
Boss.
Yes, Akwesi.
I'm at where they sell the coats. What size do you like?
Ah, what coat?
Coat. Office coat.
Ah, I said get me a quote. Quotation from Enterprise.
Save yourself from the stress. Take advantage of the Enterprise Advantage app. Make your claims, check statements, request for a quote, and buy a policy from any of our subsidiaries. What's more, you can also get health tips, traffic information, find mechanic shops, and more on your Enterprise Advantage app. Download the Enterprise Advantage app on Google Play and Apple Store now. Here is to 95 years of trust. Enterprise, your advantage.
$11,500, and the president is supposed to address that.